be revealed in a puddle of spilled chocolate milk right over here at Rawls, Texas. I don't know whether you recall that or not. Lake Arthur, New Mexico, for many years was famous for the Jesus tortilla that was on display for 25 years. Curious travels and superstitious Christians came to see that. It originated in 1977 when a young Hispanic mother was discovered what appeared to be an image of Jesus scorched on a tortilla that she was cooking. And so many people over the years, they made a big shrine of it, and people traveling would come, and they would observe or look at what they thought was a miracle. What they thought was a wow. We're good? Okay. And so it begs the question, does God still do miracles today? Does God still perform miracles, things that we wouldn't expect, things that, well, first of all, we have to define the word miracle, because it's pretty simple. A miracle is something that goes against nature, something that runs contrary to nature. In a spiritual sense, it's a divine intervention into the normal course of things. So the answer to the question, does God still perform miracles, is yes. He does it all the time. Now, I don't aim to be extending any disrespect or make fun of the well-meaning people who have gazed at spilled milk or stained office windows or tortillas or whatever it may be, thinking that somehow that God had interjected himself in a miraculous way into their lives. I don't, again, they're well-meaning. But I don't think God is going to resort to revealing himself and his presence in such an inanimate way. God is alive, you see. God is very much alive, and he's going to reveal himself through the lives of his children here on earth. He is going to make himself known as the Holy Spirit fills each one of us when upon salvation. He's going to make himself known from day to day, working in the lives of his children, and many times that is miraculous. That is miraculous in and of itself. He will do things in our life that we wouldn't think could be done, and it's not necessarily sensational. You know, we tend to think of a miracle as some just big wow, something that that's going to give us goosebumps or be spine tingling or this sort of thing. But it's more so him just working and doing in the heart of individuals who serve him just things that we often unnotice, but they're truly miraculous. Keep in mind, a miracle is something that goes against nature. So think about this. It's not natural for a man or a woman to trust in a God they cannot see. You see, that's miraculous. It's not natural for an individual to surrender their will and their desires and their resources and their goals and their futures to a Father who lives in heaven that they cannot see. It's not natural for a person to obey a set of commandments and principles that are written in a book hundreds and hundreds of years ago, writings that would have us act, writings that would have us conduct our lives contrary to our natural tendencies and impulses. Truths and principles that would create in us a life that is not at all consistent with the world around us. You see, all of those things, that's a miracle. That's God interjecting into the natural course of things and making us run contrary to them. That's a miracle. When God enters the life of an individual, it is miraculous. Salvation is miraculous. For a person to humbly admit that they're a sinner and to turn to Jesus by faith and what he did on the cross of Calvary, and to turn to that as a means of finding forgiveness, that's really a greater miracle than the parting of the Red Sea. Amen. Salvation is miraculous. So why are we looking so hard oftentimes for something sensational, some kind of an event that will make the hair stand up on the back of our neck? While all along, while we're looking for that, God is working in and through the lives of individuals in a more quiet manner that we don't notice. But I'll tell you why that we want something that will that is spine tingling, if you will, something sensational. Is because we want something that will make it easier for us to believe. You see, trusting in the Lord is work. Trusting in the Lord is a difficult task. And do you remember the story of Thomas in the Bible, one of the disciples, and after Jesus had died on the cross and resurrected, the other disciples had seen the risen Savior and knew that he was alive, and they told Thomas about it, and they said he's alive, and Thomas had a hard time believing. He said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I won't believe. He said, man, if I can't see those things, I will not believe. So he, in essence, he's saying, I want something that is more convincing than just the testimony of somebody else. I want something that makes it easier for me. So, sure enough, the Lord Jesus appeared to Thomas and revealed himself, and Thomas declared his belief. He said, my Lord, my God. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus' response to Thomas is driving home the point that I want to make. Jesus says this, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. You see, it's not natural for us to trust God. And when we do, it is in fact a miracle that we trust him. And it brings blessings into our life. So we're going to look today at the miracle of trust. And it's in the life of the prophet Elijah. Elijah was camped out by a little brook called Cherith. There was a severe drought across the land. We're in 1 Kings chapter 17, if you will. There is a severe drought across the land. The crops have failed. The rivers have dried up. People are starving. People are going without water. And up until now, God has provided for Elijah his sustenance by this little brook of water and that God led him to and placed him there. But not only was he provided water at that place, he was also given the provision of food by ravens. Birds flew in, and they would actually bring him his food from day to day. Can you imagine how Elijah must have praised the Lord each time one of those black ravens showed up with another portion of food for his meal? It was truly very miraculous. But now all of a sudden the brook has dried up. We read in verse 7, it says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So now Elijah, the situation looks pretty bleak for him. Where's he going to go from here? What's he going to do? Let's pick up in verse 8. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Notice what he says there. God says, I have commanded for your provision. You see, God has already gone to the scene. God's already there and taken care of things and made arrangements for Elijah to continue to be fed. But it's up to Elijah to trust. You see, that's going to be tough. Because Elijah could very easily, like you and I often do, say, well, I don't know. What if I get there and there's not a widow there and there's not food and there's not water? Maybe I better give that a second thought. You see, that's natural. But Elijah goes with the supernatural. He obeys God. He goes against his own tendencies. And he gets there, and the Bible says there that God had commanded. That means that God had appointed or God had arranged. And so God has done his part. He has orchestrated the events that need to be, the circumstances that need to be in place. And now Elijah has to trust, and if he trusts, he's not going to miss a meal. You see, God is always in control. It's just contingent so often on you and I trusting. You see, God is not caught by surprise. He's not shocked by our circumstances when they surface. He knows exactly what's going on, and he will, behind the scenes, take care of our problems. He will deal with that. Our difficulty is, so often we can't see behind the scenes. And so what do? We panic. We frantically fly into action and start trying to take care of things in our own way. And why? Because that's what comes natural. That's what on the inside says, you got to do this, you got to do that. And in reality, we need to do what Elijah does here and say no to the natural and look to the supernatural and just trust God. And so let's look at verse 10. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and he says, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Fellas, I want you to try that when you get home. Say, fetch me, I pray thee, a little tea in a glass that I may drink. The miracle will be is if you don't get slapped, you see. Verse 11. It says, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. You know what she's saying there? She's saying, fella, I'm just about out of food. All I have is a tiny bit of meal in a little barrel and a little tiny bit of oil in a vessel or a cruse. And when that's done, when I cook that and me and this boy eat this, then I guess we're going to starve to death from there on. Elijah says in verse 13, fear not. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. You see, Elijah's already trusting. Elijah's already gone against his natural tendencies and looked to the supernatural and says, I'm trusting God. Now what we need is another miracle in order for this whole deal to work out the way God wants it to work out and to bring him glory. And what is the miracle we're looking for now? The woman trusting. The widow woman has to trust. So in verse 13, it says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But, he said, go gather your sticks and do what you were going to do. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me. And after make for you and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You see, Elijah is doing what we Christians should be doing all the time in times of uncertainty. He's assuring her that God is in control. He's assuring her that God's not going to let neither her or her boy or he himself go hungry. He's telling her, thus saith the Lord. He's saying, woman, this deal's going to work out because God hadn't forgotten about us. God's in control. And friends, if there ever was a time in our society that people need to hear from Christians that God is still on the throne, and no matter what our situation may look like in this country, he's going to take care of his children. If there ever was a time that you and I need to proclaim that, thus saith the Lord, it's right now. People need to hear from Christians. The White House is not going to save America. The White House is not going to provide for you. God's on the throne. So Elijah reassures her with God's word. And notice what this does. it results in the second miracle. Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat one more meal. Is that what it says? No, it says they ate for many days. You see, now she's trusted in the Lord. That's a miracle. She has gone against her own feelings and her own tendencies and her own fears, and she has obeyed. Did you ever stop and think how the miracle of your faith could lead to someone else's faith? You ever stop to think that the impact of you following God closely and letting Him rule over your life, how the impact that it would make on other people's life and strengthen their faith and cause them to have miracles in their own life? Would you, your own testimony could cause someone else to experience great things in their life? There's a big miracle that day. And for several days going forward, it says for many days they did eat. But that miracle happened because God was pleased to respond to their faith and trust in Him. Verse 16 again, it says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which He spake to Elijah. God told Elijah He was going to provide. Elijah trusted, and he proclaimed it to the woman. The woman trusted, and she obeyed. Now every one of them have food and water until it begins to rain and everything, all that's behind them. So there are many miracles in the story, but really none greater than the fact that two people, humans, went against their natural thoughts and ideas about things and believed in a God who is supernatural. We often use a phrase, reaching the bottom of the barrel. We've all said it. Says, oh boy, he's sure reaching the bottom of the barrel there. You know, we use that phrase. Well, in this story, the biggest miracle lies at the bottom of the barrel. Verse 12 tells us that she had a handful of meal in a barrel. Naturally, a handful of meal would just be a tiny bit, and it would, of course, be in the bottom of the barrel. But then verse 16 that we just read says the barrel of meal wasted not. That just simply means it never ended. There was meal in that barrel every time she came and reached in. Day after day, when dinner came around, when lunch and breakfast would come around, she would go to that barrel and she would reach in there and there'd continue to be provision. God's provision didn't end. You see, friends, there's no end to what God can do in our lives. There's no bottom to it. It doesn't run out. His capabilities never fall short if we trust. Maybe you're here today and you've reached the bottom of the barrel. Maybe you're experiencing feelings of fear and trepidation and I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how this is going to play out. I'm scared of the world around me and what's happening. And maybe you're having a hard time putting one foot in front of the other. Where you're right where God does His best work. Bottom of the barrel. You're at the end of yourself. Now He can reveal to you that He can be trusted. You see, full barrels don't require any trust. In fact, when the barrels are full, we tend to take our eyes off God. We just come and we take it for granted and we get out of the barrel and we go on and every day it's there. And so often we don't perceive our needs because they're always there. We don't remember to thank God because the barrel's always full. So we begin to take it for granted. And because of that, there are times that God would just let us get to the bottom of the barrel. He will let our circumstances change in such a way that we have to reach for Him. And that goes for all of us. You even think about Elijah. Elijah was a great man of God. He had huge faith. He had things. He experienced God's power in so many different levels, and as much as anybody ever did experience God's power, Elijah did. But even he had to be put in positions that would stretch his faith. Remember, he was at the brook Cherith? It dried up. Once again, bottom of the barrel. We've been out here all this time, had water at the brook, had ravens bringing me food, and all of a sudden it stops. You see the bottom of the barrel. I've got to trust. And then he moves on to the widow of Zarephath. God provides. The barrel's once again. But the cycle goes on and on. So often, God will allow us to be put in positions that would stretch our faith. Prosperity doesn't cultivate faith. I like prosperity. I work hard for prosperity. We all like, and I'm not just talking about monetarily. We all like to do well in our lives. We like for our kids to be doing well and our grandkids and our health to be well and for our finances to be well and all in all for life to be good. We like that. That's what I call prosperity. But that doesn't always cultivate faith, you see. Sometimes God has to let us have to reach a little further in order to make us stronger in trusting Him more. I want to leave you with this last principle. When God is asking for much, it's usually because He wants to give us much. When the man of God told the woman to take her last bit of meal and last bit of oil and to go over and make a morsel of bread for him, in essence, she was being asked to lay her life on the line. You see, she was dependent upon that oil and that meal for survival. It was all she had left. But yet, she trusted and she obeyed what God was asking her to do. That took a lot of faith, folks. But it led for her and her boy being cared for the remainder of the famine. That's huge. You see, she was in a pickle. She's a widow. She doesn't have a husband. She don't have a man to go out work hard to provide and bring the food home. She was a widow with a little boy, and she was in as bad a shape as anybody in the country during this famine and this drought. But yet, her trust in the Lord, the miracle of trust, resulted in her having and her boy having a meal all the way through those difficult times until it began to rain and there was abundance again. How many times has God asked you for something and you said no? Wonder what you missed out on. I have to ask myself the same question. How many times when He asked me to do something difficult, something that's hard to trust, something that's hard to believe in, and then I just took the easy route and didn't do it. I wonder what I missed out on. I wonder what kind of abundance I never got to experience because of that. In my own life, folks, when I'm being asked the most and I follow, it always leads to the biggest blessings in my life. I've seen it time and time again. Again, I've fallen short and missed them, but I've hit them sometimes. It's the most profound example of that, and I've told you this time and time again, but was the call to the ministry so many years ago. God was calling me to preach. It was very evident. It was evident to her. It was evident to everybody around me, but I didn't want to do it because I had my own little situation that I just liked where I was. It was my comfort zone. It's where I had grown up, and I get to be cowboy, and I get to do the things I want to do, and my kids are in a little Mayberry school, and it's all good, and I just did not want to be a preacher because that would mean God would tell me to go somewhere else. It took faith. It took trust. It took a while, too. But when I finally did, I got 21 years of the greatest blessings of my life and my family's life. I'm talking about it was asking much, but boy, did it result in much. And hopefully 20 more.
I've been home two times in the last month to do funerals for friends. Just one this last week. As much as I love seeing all those people, as much as I love that area, if God asked me to go back, I wouldn't want to go. The place that I just didn't want to turn loose of and leave, I have no desire to go back to. Wonderful place. Glad my roots are there. But God has brought such abundance in my life here, and my calling is right here to you people, and so I'm glad I'm here. You say, we're not so glad, brother. Maybe you're here and you're at the bottom of the barrel. Things are tough. Not sure how you're going to proceed from here. You're not sure how it's all going to work out. And everything within you is saying, panic. Fly into action. Do what you got to do and all this. And I'm here to tell you that the miracle's going to come when you trust. When you believe my God's in control. I'm going to wait upon Him. He's going to provide. He's going to get me through this difficult time. That's the miracle of trust. And when that miracle of trust takes place, then so often the sensational miracles take place in our life. Something is like, wow. Can you believe how that worked out? Can you believe what God did there? Not a vision of a Jesus in a some tortilla or something along those lines, but a vision of the power and the majesty and the sovereignty and the mercy and the grace of God as He worked in that situation. That's sensational. I'm going to ask you to stand. Maybe you're here and you'd like to come. You've got a situation you want to present to God and say, God, I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I'm reaching for you now, Father. I encourage you to come and bow at this altar. Maybe you're here and there's something else that you need. I'd be glad. I'd be standing here. I'd be love to pray with you if necessary. And if God's spoken to your heart, you come.